Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in this half-hour segment, we're going to continue with an analysis of something that we have dealt with periodically in the past. This is not a continuation of the previous half-hour segment, but rather a revisitation of a subject that I have been examining on and off for many years. In numerous programs, both archive shows such as RFA programs 19 and 22, as well as half-hour segments such as the half-hour segment about Gladio Bis, I have examined something that has manifested itself under a number of different names depending on the code name and operational base under which the particular phase of the operation was carried out. In the early 1950s, NATO intelligence, including the CIA and other NATO intelligence services, put together a contingency plan called Operation Stay Behind, in which guerrilla groups and weapons caches were put together to harass either the Red Army in the case of a successful Soviet invasion of Western Europe, something which, by the way, was never possible nor contemplated, or in the event of a Communist Party takeover of a major European country, something which was altogether possible in both Italy and, for a period of time, France. This Operation Stay Behind manifested itself in various countries, such as Italy, under the name Operation Gladio, and instead of putting together armed guerrilla groups which functioned as a military reserve, it appears that in many countries, Operation Stay Behind / Gladio functioned in reality as a cover for utilizing some of these ostensible guerrilla groups as right-wing terrorists. And in fact, in many of the stay-behind structures, outright fascist elements, including elements evolved directly from the fascist powers of World War II, were utilized as, quote, guerrillas, unquote. And again, instead of functioning as a military reserve in the event of an emergency, a political or military emergency, many of them, in point of fact, appear to have functioned as terrorist groups and were used to destabilize the democracies of many countries and to eliminate political dissidents. We have focused on Operation Gladio, the Italian manifestation of this, which appears to have resulted in the strategy of tension. That, again, in, among other programs, RFA programs 19 and 22, as well as a miscellaneous two-part archive series called The Fascist Third Position. Also, a miscellaneous archive series about, a miscellaneous archive show, I should say, about Operation Gladio. Those available from Spitfire, and I'll tell you more about that later. A good summation of Operation Stay Behind was put together in a book entitled The New Reich, subtitled Violent Extremism in Unified Germany and Beyond. This book was authored by Michael Schmidt, last name S-C-H-M-I-D-T, a very talented German journalist. The book was published in hardcover by Pantheon Books, and it was copyrighted in 1993. We've dealt with this book before, and we're going to turn to it once again for a description of Operation Stay Behind and some of the nefarious forces that were put together in order to put that into effect. In the last chapter of the book, entitled The Incomplete Puzzle, the description of Operation Stay Behind begins. Now, we'll hear a reference here to a fellow named Volsink. This is a fellow named Gerrit et Volsink, a Dutch Waffen-SS man who, in fact, like many SS veterans, went to work for Western intelligence in the post-World War II period. Michael Schmidt writes in The New Reich, Volsink's shadowy post-war role in, quote, working for the Allies, unquote, left me rather baffled. I knew, for example, from John Loftus's book The Belarus Secret, that, in addition to helping East European Nazi collaborators find safe havens in the U.S. and elsewhere, the Western Allies had set up units for sabotage and subversion behind the Iron Curtain after the onset of the Cold War. Nevertheless, there was little evidence of similar operations in Western Europe. Within 3 months of the meeting with Volsink, however, his reluctance to clarify his statements about this, quote, work for the Allies, unquote, took on new meaning. In Italy, on October 17, 1990, details of a clandestine NATO group known only by the codename, quote, Gladio, unquote, began to emerge from a probe into right-wing terrorism by Venetian judge Felice Casson, C-A-S-S-O-N, and from Italian government inquiries into the Red Brigade's murder of Premier Aldo Moro and the role of the Italian secret services. Giulio Andreotti, then the Italian prime minister, admitted that a secret army of anti-communist guerrillas still existed and had for more than 40 years. Andreotti had served as Italian defense minister from 1959 to 1966 and had been personally involved with underground structures established for the purposes of organizing rearguard resistance in the event of a Warsaw Pact invasion of Western Europe. It turned out that Gladio, with an estimated strength of 1,000 people in Italy, was only the Italian arm of a paramilitary front extending across the whole of Western Europe, including even neutral Sweden and Switzerland. Andreotti's confession detonated a political bomb. Gladio, the Cold War's best-kept secret, was also known to Italian President Francesco Cossiga, C-O-S-S-I-G-A, who confirmed that he had dealt with the organization in 1967 during his own term as defense minister. However, as recently as August of 1990, Andreotti told the Italian parliament that Gladio had been wound up in 1972, and NATO spokesman at the headquarters in Belgium likewise denied the organization's existence. The mention of Gladio's NATO connections and NATO's adamant, even frantic denials immediately touched off journalistic investigations in other countries that, often with the help of former NATO and CIA insiders, soon revealed why this matter was so delicate. In Italy, for example, it became known that Gladio was also active in internal politics. Roberto Cavaliero, C-A-V-A-L-L-E-R-O, a former Gladio member, told the Italian news magazine Panorama that he was trained to prepare groups that, in the event of an advance by left-wing forces, would fill the streets, creating a situation of such tension as to require military intervention. He also claimed that other members of Gladio, working with Italy's security services counterintelligence, had infiltrated the Red Brigades, who murdered Aldo Moro, the architect of a 1978 pact between his Christian Democrat Party and the still-powerful Italian Communist Party. Cavaliero's statements matched remarks made by Moro in letters written during his captivity, suggesting that the Secret Services could be implicated in an attempt to destabilize the country. By the way, I would note that much of the terrorism apparently stemming from Operation Gladio and Operation Stay Behind was performed at the behest of elements of NATO intelligence, including some elements of U.S. intelligence. It involved various fascist elements, including Italian fascists, many of them associated with the P2 Lodge, about which we're going to hear in just a minute. These terrorist incidents, assassinations, bombings, kidnappings, etc., were usually blamed on the left and served as a pretext for cracking down on the left, for restricting civil liberties, for setting up martial law contingency plans, and in general destabilizing the country. This strategy was known as the strategy of tension, and again, it's described in numerous programs, including RFA 19, the miscellaneous archive show about Operation Gladio, and some half-hour segments, all of those available from Spitfire. Continuing with the New Reich. These disclosures also gave rise to a welter of accusations that Gladio counted among its connections the shadowy P2 Masonic Lodge, headed by longtime fascist Licio Gelli. Gelli had meetings organized by the CIA with Alexander Haig, Nixon's chief of staff, and later NATO's supreme commander, at the U.S. Embassy in Rome in the early 1970s to discuss the need to restrict the power of the Italian Communist Party. One former NATO official charges that the U.S. spent nearly $100 million on a secret project called Stay Behind, which was designed to prevent a communist takeover at all costs. Cavaliero acknowledged Gladio's links with P2, which had financed rightist terrorists like the NAR, the Nuclei Armati Rivoluzionari, the Armed Revolutionary Cells, whose members bombed the Bologna railway station in September of 1980. Later, members of both P2 and groups close to the NAR admitted that the bombing was designed by Gladio to force the political axis to the right. Thus, Gladio connected Italy's ruling conservative Christian Democrats to some of the country's most violent and lawless fascists. Overseeing the whole operation were CISMI, capital S, capital I, capital S, capital M, capital I, the Italian Military Intelligence Organization, CISDE, S-I-S-D-E, also all in capitals, the Italian Civilian Intelligence Organization, and CIFA, S-I-F-A, also all in capitals, the Italian equivalent of the CIA. The eruption of the Gladio scandal had international dimensions. In other countries, authorities began to concede that similar operations had been devised for the same purposes, anti-communist sabotage, but not necessarily using fascists as key personnel or as weapons in internal politics. In the Netherlands, Premier Ruud Lubbers, L-U-B-B-E-R-S, acknowledged that a Dutch version of Gladio, for which Gerrit et Volsing could conceivably have worked, did indeed exist, and that its size had recently been subject to a review. In Greece, Yanis Varvisiotis, V-A-R-V-I-S-I-O-T-I-S, then defense minister, declared that the CIA had launched a similar network under the codename Sheepskin, but that it had been dismantled in 1988. Similar admissions followed in Portugal, Turkey, and France, where, according to Defense Minister Jean-Pierre Chevènement, it had only, quote, recently been dissolved, unquote. However, it was in Germany, Belgium, and Sweden that investigations of Gladio produced the most significant results and revealed the greatest parallels to the Italian experience. In Germany, for example, it emerged that ex-Nazis, some of them SS members from the post-war Bund Deutscher Jugend, the BDJ, had been the first recruits. A former senior CIA officer with knowledge of the entire Gladio operation told Graham Atkinson that the U.S. Office of Policy Coordination, a CIA front, had, quote, incorporated lock, stock, and barrel, the espionage outfit run by Hitler's spy boss, Reinhard Gehlen, unquote. By the way, I would interject that Major General Reinhard Gehlen was Hitler's intelligence chief for the Eastern Front during World War II, heading up an organization called FHO, or Foreign Armies East. This was Hitler's Eastern Front intelligence organization and the Gehlen Organization, as it came to be called, with liberal additions from other elements of German intelligence, including much of the SS, later became, in effect, the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs, the de facto NATO intelligence organization, and it was finally incorporated as the West German Intelligence Service, the BND, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, while continuing to provide the U.S. and NATO with a vast bulk of its intelligence. It employed numerous SS and Gestapo veterans, many of them war criminals of the First Order, and this is discussed in numerous archive shows, including the first three RFA shows. Continuing. Of the explanation provided by a former senior CIA officer, he explained that Gehlen was the spiritual father of Stay Behind, and that West German leader Konrad Adenauer was fully aware of his role. Upon Germany's accession to NATO in May of 1955, Adenauer signed a secret protocol with the U.S. in which the West German authorities agreed to refrain from the active legal pursuit of known right-wing extremists. What was not so well known, the official continued, is that other top German politicians were party to the existence of secret resistance plans, including the then German State Secretary and former high-ranking Nazi Hans Globke, unquote. In fact, the whole secret operation drew almost all of its personnel from former SS and Waffen-SS men during the early post-war years, men who were then trained by the British Secret Intelligence Service, or SIS. Later, the entire operation was absorbed into the West German intelligence service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst. At the end of 1990, the independent television program Stern highlighted some of the key plans of the German Gladio, including possible assassination of left-wing politicians in the event of a Soviet invasion. High on the list were two leading social democrats, Herbert Wehner, W-E-H-N-E-R, party chairman of the Bundestag, and an ex-communist whom the Nazis had never forgiven for escaping to the Soviet Union, and the mayor of Bremen, Wilhelm Kaisen, K-A-I-S-E-N. Among those involved after the war, when the Gladio infrastructure was still being created, was ex-Obersturmführer Hans Otto. But the prize catch, unquote, declared the former CIA man, was Klaus Barbie, who functioned as a recruiting agent for ex-Nazis and members of the BDJ. The veracity of this dramatic accusation has never been confirmed, but documentary evidence in the hands of the British Parliament's all-party war crimes group, established in 1986 to bring Nazi fugitives in Britain to justice, shows that Barbie was in close contact with both the British and American secret services after the war. By the way, I would add that in other archive shows, including RFA program numbers 1, 2, and 3, as well as RFA program number 27, the role of Klaus Barbie with U.S. intelligence in both Europe and Latin America is discussed at considerable length. Barbie definitely went to work for U.S. intelligence. Barbie's also touched on in RFA program number 19 as well, in connection with the strategy of tension. Indeed, Stefano Della Chiai, the Italian fascist and one of the prime architects of the strategy of tension discussed in RFA 19, worked very closely with Klaus Barbie and became part of his bridegrooms or fiancés of death, Coca Fascisti, the cocaine mercenaries, who in effect operated as proxies for some elements of U.S. intelligence in the Bolivian regime that held power in the early 1980s. That regime was installed by fascist elements associated with U.S. intelligence, with assistance from some elements of U.S. intelligence, and it presided over the Bolivian cocaine trade. Continuing. It has also been amply confirmed that Swedish neutrality was violated from the early 1950s when the United States installed a stay-behind program using former Swedish Waffen-SS men who had fought in the Finnish-Soviet War and later on the Eastern Front. The choice of ex-Nazi Waffen-SS men was logical, since they alone in Sweden had the necessary mixture of anti-communist virulence and combat experience. In Belgium, too, stay-behind recruited fascists as well as extreme-right elements within the police and armed forces. The Gladio affair is important above all because it demonstrates the willingness of state authorities to collaborate for their own purposes with the most violent and hate-filled enemies of democracy. The precedent for this should be a cautionary footnote to all anti-fascists, Democrats, and victims or potential victims of fascism. The extent to which the Nazis were encouraged and supported prior to 1933 by, quote, democratic, unquote, politicians, quote, democratic, unquote, army officers, quote, democratic, unquote, academics, quote, democratic, unquote, policemen, and, quote, democratic, unquote, bankers and industrialists, was revealed only after the final defeat of the Third Reich in 1945. Gladio may well be the expression of a similar phenomenon today, but this time, nobody can claim not to have been warned. More about Operation Gladio, the strategy of tension, and the utilization of Italian fascist groups as terrorists under this program with assistance from Western intelligence is provided by a number of clippings that were gleaned for us from the Italian press by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who has been doing his characteristically excellent research and sharing it with us in characteristically selfless fashion. Dave gleaned the following and translated it for us from the Corriere della Sera of Thursday, November 21st of 1996. This article begins on page 12 and is entitled Führer over files on terrorist attacks, and it reads in part as follows. Yesterday at a press conference in Milan, Judge Guido Salvini, S-A-L-V-I-N-I, explained how a university professor discovered 265, quote, forgotten, unquote, files from the early 50s to 1978. By the way, these were files about Gladio / Stay Behind. Quote, there were references to whole blocks of files that could not be located. Through questioning former file clerks, it was discovered that most of the material had been deposited in a storeroom in the Interior Ministry when the Office of Reserve Affairs closed, unquote. Among the files were pieces of a battery and a timer used by Franco Freda, F-R-E-D-A, and Giovanni Ventura, V-E-N-T-U-R-A, in the August 8, 1969 Pescara train station bombing. By the way, we discussed the Piazza Fontana massacre, one of the terrorist incidents performed under the strategy of tension / Gladio in numerous archive shows, including the P2 Update program. Continuing. By the way, some of the names here were various participants from among the ranks of Italian fascists in the strategy of tension. Continuing, quote, of the Pescara train station bombing, Pescara marked the beginning of a new era, Salvini explained. It was the first of many attacks that preceded Piazza Fontana, unquote. The Milanese magistrate is convinced of the international origin of the Piazza Fontana massacre, interrupting Reed, Gladio / Stay Behind. Continuing, ordering the attack, according to Salvini, was the CIA, which used as its European base for illegal activities the press agency Agente Presse, that's A-G-I-N-T-E-R, directed by former OAS officer Yves Guérin-Serac, that's G-U-E-R-I-N hyphen S-E-R-A-C. The OAS, L'Organisation de la Main Secrète, was a French fascist organization, some of whose members collaborated with the elements of Western intelligence. The Agente Presse organization was basically an international fascist front, which served as something of an assassination consortium. It was associated with elements of the strategy of tension and with the Fascist International, as freelance Danish journalist Henrik Kruger termed it in his landmark book, The Great Heroin Coup. That discussed again and among other programs, RFA programs 19 and 22. Continuing. The material executors, this is of Stay Behind Gladio, were Italian right-wing extremists covered by the Italian secret services. Dave also gleaned the following for us from La Repubblica of Tuesday, December 3rd of 1996, this on page 22, headlined, Uncatalogued Files in Mysterious Archive, unquote. Judges from 9 different jurisdictions are holding a summit meeting in Rome to discuss the legal ramifications of the sensational files found October 8th in a police warehouse. The magistrates intend to ask former Interior Ministry officials who worked in D'Amato's office to explain their filing criteria. By the way, Umberto D'Amato was one of the Italian cabinet officials in charge with overseeing the ministries under which Gladio/Stay Behind was put into effect. Continuing, the judges want to know why the dossiers did not contain the items listed on their covers and why some documents were neither registered with nor transmitted to judicial authorities. As we shall see as the Italian investigation of Operation Stay Behind / Gladio proceeded with its attendant strategy of tension and utilization of fascist groups as state operatives, the documents implicating some of the powers that be in these machinations have disappeared to a certain extent or been redacted. More about the cover-up and some of the things that appear to have been in those documents. This, again, researched and translated for us by Dave White. This from La Repubblica of Thursday, November 21st of 1996. This appeared on page 18. This is entitled, Extinct Office Yields Mysterious Papers. It reads in part as follows. A university professor working for Judge Guido Salvini has found hundreds of files abandoned in a storeroom of the Interior Ministry in Rome. They were accumulated by the Office of Reserved Affairs, directed until 1984 by Federico Umberto D'Amato. Shortly before D'Amato's death last August, his house was searched and nothing was found. The files prove state bodies offered cover to the deviated services, the parallel Gladio, and to neo-fascist organizations such as Ordine Nuovo and Agente Press. Ordine Nuovo, or New Order in English, is another Italian fascist organization, the parallel Gladio, or Gladio Bis, the subject of a previous half-hour segment, was essentially an extension of Gladio involving, again, fascist groups and also organized crime operatives as state functionaries for the purposes of executing terror, to be blamed on the left and to drive the political electorate in Italy to the right. Continuing, for example, a document from SISMI attributes the inspiration for the 1974 Piazza della Loggia bombing to the Office of Reserved Affairs, interrupting SISMI, S-I-S-M-I, all in capital letters, one of the Italian intelligence services. Continuing, and one of the most fascinating elements of what Dave gleaned for us is introduced in the following sentence. Speaking of some of the redacted material and some of the material that appears to have disappeared, however, much of the material, like the files on Operation Blue Moon and Operation Chaos, could already be known to investigators. Now, Operation Chaos appears to refer here to one of the operations that was subsumed under the title of the Strategy of Tension, Stay Behind, Gladio, etc. It also, as we're about to see, was the name for an American intelligence operation, specifically an illegal domestic CIA operation directed against the so-called New Left in the United States, elements of the anti-Vietnam War movement, and also related elements of the Black and Brown Power movements. Dave White gleaned the following from the Corriere della Sera of Wednesday, February 12th of 1997. This article is entitled Secret Dossiers on Judges, and it reads in part as follows. Until 1974, the Office of Reserved Affairs kept files on 323 judges nicknamed, quote, Red Robes, unquote. 77 of the names were also found in 1980 in the home of General Giandilio Maletti, M-A-L-E-T-T-I, on lists of, quote, politically contraindicated magistrates, unquote. General Maletti, who headed Office D of the SID in the 70s, was sentenced to 14 years imprisonment for his involvement in the P2 affair. By the way, the P2, a shadowy Masonic lodge involving key Italian fascists, businessmen, journalists, politicians, military and intelligence figures, as well as mafiosi, again headed up by Italian fascist and former Waffen SS officer Licio Gelli, basically functioned as, in effect, a crypto-fascist government that ran Italy in the post-World War II period, had branches in other countries, and was very close to, among other institutions, the administrations of Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Continuing. The Office of Reserved Affairs was founded in 1956 and became operational in 1958. Its main duty was to monitor, infiltrate, and conditionalize the left. At the end of 1958, a CIA official in Italy named Robert Driscoll, D-R-I-S-C-O-L-L, offered operating bases, technical support, finance, and personnel to the Interior Ministry. From the late 60s to 1974, the CIA conducted, quote, unorthodox and psychological warfare in Italy, unquote. Under the cover of Operation Chaos, a surveillance network stretched between numerous counter-espionage bases with direct contributions from the CIA through Agence Presse. By the way, in RFAs 19 and 22, we discussed U.S. intelligence assistance to the Strategy of Tension, one of the funding conduits for CIA money going to the P2 into the Strategy of Tension, was a former P2 member and Vatican financial advisor, Michele Sindona. That also, by the way, Sindona's career discussed in RFA 18, among other programs. Dave White gleaned the following article for us from La Stampa. This from La Stampa of Thursday, February 13th of 1997. The article begins on page 5. Dave also translated this for us. It's entitled, Judge Says CIA Behind Massacres. It reads in part as follows. Investigating magistrate Guido Salvini appeared yesterday before a parliamentary commission and spoke with unusual candor. Quote, we all know the CIA participated in the unrestricted surveillance of Ordine Nuovo, the judge said, but it's more serious than that. Their agents infiltrated the cells of the neo-fascist organization. They knew what made Ordine Nuovo members tick, but they did nothing whatsoever to rein in their subjects' criminal activities. In fact, it now appears that the CIA thoroughly encouraged Ordine Nuovo in the preparation of explosive devices and in the execution of terrorist attacks, unquote. Senator Giovanni Pellegrino, president of the Parliamentary Commission on Terrorist Massacres, asked the judge about Operation Chaos and Demagnetize, two strategies of unorthodox warfare under which legions of plotters were trained. Judge Salvini replied, quote, the latest results of my inquiry show that these techniques contributed to the clandestine manner in which Ordine Nuovo was formed, unquote. So again, note the involvement of elements of Western intelligence, including, according to the Italian press, elements of CIA, with the Strategy of Tension and with the utilization of Italian fascist groups as de facto state agents in that terrorist program. Note also that some of the Italian intelligence operations associated with the Strategy of Tension, Stay Behind, Gladio, etc., were codenamed Operation Chaos. This is more than a little interesting because that is the same name as a domestic CIA operation that was conducted in the United States at the same time and directed against elements of the American left, including elements of the anti-Vietnam War movement. Now, whether Operation Chaos in the United States and in Italy were part of the same operation is a matter of conjecture, but I think it's a possibility that should be held open. The last item in tonight's program, also researched for us by Dave White, comes from a book entitled The COINTELPRO Papers, subtitled Documents from the FBI's Secret Wars Against Domestic Dissent. It's authored by Ward Churchill and Jim Vanderwall, and it's published by the South End Press in Boston. Of Operation Chaos, one of a number of domestic intelligence operations launched against the so-called New Left, the book writes as follows, or the authors write as follows. The Bureau's new COINTELPRO effort was quickly linked to illegal, under its charter, CIA domestic surveillance programs such as Project Merrimack, Project Resistance, and Operation Chaos, which collectively amassed and in some cases circulated intelligence information in the form of watch lists on, quote, radical students, anti-war activists, draft resistors and deserters, black nationalists, anarchists, and assorted new leftists. We'll continue with our discussion of Operation Stay Behind Gladio in the next half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.